All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray. It is an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. If you're just tuning in on 94.1, you have missed 2 hours of the big show that we love to call the Friday Extravaganza, The Usual Suspects. And if you missed any of that, well, what we always tell you to do is get on over to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects. You can catch up on the hours you missed there, and or download on the same website the app, and then you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss a minute of the show. It's Nick Sciarra back in studio. It is Cody Stutes filling in for Barry Laminack, who happens to be in El Paso doing some comedy, and yours truly, Joel Blank, as we continue to roll on here from Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. If you're looking for a great, safe environment with an upscale feel to it to play poker, I tell you there is no finer spot in this city than that of Prime Social. I have been to several of the other locations. Not to knock anybody else's place or establishment, but I'm telling you right now, I speak from experience. If you want the total package, great food, great beverage, incredibly good security from being scanned when you walk in and having to walk through the security system, to having the security guards on premise with the valet parking, table after table of poker, including many numerous tournaments. The big one here started around lunchtime. You got Lance Zierlein and AJ Hoffman with bounties on them. If you knock them out, you get paid. It's just a top to bottom well-run place. And if you're a poker player, this is the place you should be.
You know how good this place is?
Well, why don't you tell me, Cody?
Well, I'm going to
tell
you,
it's better than British Biscuits on Netflix.
No, stop. I should have never brought it up.
Oh, yes, you should have.
I should have never brought it up. This place is so good that the people in Austin that kind of started the legal card house movement talk about this place in Austin. We got to go to Prime Social in Houston.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is good stuff.
Yeah. They come over here and leave all their money here.
I guess so. And I'm sure Houstonians are very happy about that.
Exactly.
They also have people that do massages while you play poker.
They do.
Lance Zierlein tried to charge it to his company account, and we had to let him know that comp massages aren't part of the appearance fee, even though you are, you know, big time NFL Network guy. I'm sure you can afford it, but the $2 a minute head and neck massage was not covered under the terms of the agreement with Prime Social and Gal Media. Just letting you know. So if you want to get your head somewhere else, your head massage somewhere else, then you probably have to do that, because they're right in front of us right now. One of the masseuses is working on a gentleman's head and neck while he plays cards.
Masseuse.
I said masseuse.
I know, but what an interesting word, masseuse. Masseuses.
Now, Cody, if you were to request what he's having done, what exactly would that be on the a la carte menu? I'm just asking you a question, because some people might say, I need the shoulder and back massage. I need the rib and scapula massage. What is she doing right there, Cody?
She is massaging that man's head. Hmm.
Okay, is that it?
That's all I can tell from here.
Okay, you need a better angle? You need a better angle, or are you going to do that after hours?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I don't need anything extra.
Your food is here now? It looks extraordinarily good. I'm telling you, the things that they do here, absolutely fantastic.
Top-notch.
The service is incredible. We'd like to reach out and thank Q, who delivered our food.
She's the best.
And it's so fantastic.
She takes care of us most of the time when we're out here.
Now, we also know that the Texans have a receiver named Kiki QT. He's the slot receiver, but you absolutely are the A1 receiver that brings the great food.
Yeah.
You're actually delivering but not receiving, but you should receive compliments from us. That's
there
what
you
you're
go.
Doing.
Yes. Yes. Very good.
Well done.
Very
yes.
good. So come out here, see her.
Tip your bartenders and wait staff when you're out here and make sure that they are appreciated. And we're having some fun. If we're not talking about cooking shows.
Speaking of QT, game time decision.
What? God, seriously. And Lance talked about this the other day, too, because I brought it up. I mean, can we not get any – between him and Lamar Miller, the slot receiver is like the jinx position.
I don't –
everyone's always hurt.
So QT hurts the hamstring in the preseason, doesn't play at all, doesn't play in the three-game losing streak, mm-hmm. comes back, they start winning, he plays, I think, four of the six games, gets hurt again, has now had the bye week to get ready. This must be a super serious hamstring injury, or the dude just has fragile hamstrings. I don't know what it is. Game time decision. I'm guessing they'll test it out in Washington, see how it goes. If he can go, though, that's a – I mean, that's a element of the offense that they desperately need because you don't know how deep Demaryius Thomas is into this thing yet. I know he's had a couple weeks to get ready with the team and get the playbook going and things like that. You don't know how deep it is. He's not going to be as deep as somebody who was here from the jump. So you do have that slight disadvantage you have to deal with throughout the course of the season. If QT's back, he's been with this team, he knows the offense, and when he was healthy from the slot position, that was a guy they looked for. Deshaun Watson found him with ease.
But holy hammies, man. I mean, we were talking about Mahomes and talking about Whataburger and why someone hasn't jumped on that. I mean, between him and Chris Paul, someone should be creating honey-baked hammies and try to figure out a way that they can start figuring out how to keep hamstrings healthy in the city of Houston, Texas for athletes. Because it's been an overall epidemic, but good Lord, in the slot receiver position between him and Braxton Miller, just get healthy. Play.
I don't understand.
Wayne Ellington, he couldn't stay healthy. I mean, it's just...
Hamstrings are a fickle
good
mistress, man.
Lord.
A you fickle ain't even, mistress.
You're not a cutie. You're not sexy. You're not even, you know, a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10 when you're not on the field. Get out there, man.
Yeah, yeah. Just to fill out the rest of the injury report, Aaron Colvin, questionable. Cunningham, Ejiofor, questionable. Jonathan Joseph, questionable. Doesn't seem like it's Colvin. J.J. probably
early
game
in the
time
week,
decision.
The rumor was Colvin was going to be back.
Bill O'Brien sort of poo-pooed that a little bit today, said he's not as close as maybe someone like Jonathan Joseph is. And look, again, with Colvin, the guy hadn't been good when he was in there. So I'm not going to rush him back and let him be less than
100%. It's asking for a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, assuming that a guy like Kayvon Webster would be ready after two plays all season.
You know when?
God, that's annoying. Too.
So the Kayvon Webster thing is hilarious because on those two plays, according to Pro Football Focus, he did really well. So when I go in and I sort the Pro Football Focus
the
stats,
ratings and rankings,
he's like the third best corner in football. But when you go to like snaps play,
yeah,
it's two.
Well, isn't Kareem number one?
So the way I sort it is you have to play 50% of your team snaps or more. Mm-hmm. That's how I sort it. And Kareem, I think, is the third DB in that. Justin Reed's really high up there.
Boy, he's
as well. In fact, DJ Swearinger is one of the players that's really high up there in DBs when you sort by over 50% of the team snaps, according to Pro Football Focus. And again, it's not everything to me, but it's a useful tool to help analyze and confirm what your eyes see. You know, Swearinger having a real good year. Kareem having a great year.
People need to go to sportsmap.com, see the video we did on Swearinger and Bill O'Brien and all his comments because I kind of analyzed it from the other way. Appreciate it. I hope you watched it clothed again.
I did.
But at the same time, I appreciate that because we wanted to make sure that you got the other side of the spin cycle because DJ wasn't exactly the consummate professional or player when he was here. Although, if you watched the news last night, boy, Clowney was quick to just come to his defense. He's still my boy and all this other things. And, you know, the dog
yeah.
bit me, but I was playing with the dog. But
yeah.
All right, it's a little too late for that, Jadeveon. He's moved on, so have you. Let's just continue to play football.
Sure, sure.
It adds another element of fun to the game, though.
It is,
it should
yeah.
be fun to watch.
It is. And Swearinger is not the type of guy I would hope that would do something to a player because the coach didn't like him. I've seen that
I
on social
so.
Media.
But rest assured, if there's a close play on the sideline,
ooh,
he is the kind of guy that might sure. miss, well, and also might slip up a little bit and throw his body one way or another. But definitely he will be talking his ass off. And Bill O'Brien better not do his best Sean Payton because if he starts talking first, DJ's not backing down.
No. No,
that would be,
no,
that's
no.
going to be fun to watch.
That's going to be that is a fun element to watch. And Swearinger is one of the guys. I look at this Washington team, and I went and watched some of their games, and just paying attention to Washington, they just do not have a lot of dudes. Like you look around and like some of these teams in the NFL. Like if you were getting ready to look at the Texans, you'd be like Watt, dude, Clowney, dude, Kareem Jackson playing his ass off right now. Justin Reed, one of the better rookies in football right now. Tyrann Mathieu's a name you recognize. I went and looked around Washington. It's like, okay, Ha, Clinton Dix played pretty well since he's come over in the trade. Swearinger's playing nice. And then you look at some of the like, Jonathan Allen from Alabama, inconsistent. Ryan Kerrigan, same draft class as J.J. Watt. He's their main pass rusher, inconsistent. You know, some of their linebacker play is inconsistent. Their wide receiver play is inconsistent. Alex Smith is average in pretty much every category.
He is the consummate game manager.
Except interceptions. And he's like one of the lowest in the league in interceptions. And then Adrian Peterson's the only guy on offense that's really way above average for that team. I look at this game, and it's along the lines of that Dolphins game a couple weeks ago. Like, I don't know how the Texans aren't, like, huge. I mean, I know they're road favorites in this game, but I don't know how I can't just sit here and say, okay, they're going to blow them out. Because Washington just doesn't have a lot of talent. They play pretty well as a team, despite not having that large amount of talent. But there's just nothing special about the Redskins. Nothing.
But they're in first place.
Yes.
Obviously, that tells you how bad the NFC East is. There's a lot of bad divisions in football because the NFC North is terrible. The AFC South is terrible. The NFC East is terrible. But guess what? That just means that there's more parity, more teams that are still in play to get into the playoffs. And that includes your Houston Texans. After an 0-3 start, they're proving that. But, again, maybe that's also why some of the cream does rise to the top. Cream rises to the top, and that's why you got teams like the Saints who rattled off 7 in a row, like the Chargers now at 6 in a row, the Texans at 6 in a row. A lot more long winning streaks than you normally would see in an NFL season because there is an easy separation between the haves and the have-nots.
No doubt.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're going to take a break here and continue to bounce back with more. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a call, 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can hit us up on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1 as we're simulcasting now through 7 o'clock. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. And, oh, by the way, if you're in the area, in and around the Galleria, why don't you step on by to Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer, where there is a big poker tournament going on as we speak, but it is the premier place to be playing poker in the city of Houston, Texas. It's safe. It's clean. It's classy. Good food, good drink, great poker. Stop on by. Cody Stutes has done that. He did it yesterday. He's doing it again today. He's filling in for Barry Laminack. Aaron is somehow running on fumes, but he is keeping us on the air as well, as he has been blowing and going for about 24 hours straight. And back at the studio, it is the man, the myth, the legend that is Nick Sciarra. Nick, by the way, someone on text message did send a message that said, "I'm worried for Nick if Cody is giving him advice on the ladies."
Ooh.
Happy Friday.
Pow, pow. Shots fired. Mm.
Man, I'm just tossing out there a helpful hint for anybody and everybody.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I've done it. I'm saying I've just seen it successfully executed.
Including British Biscuits.
Great British Bake Off. Great show.
Weird. Just absolutely weird.
All the seasons
so I was
on
telling
Netflix.
You this in the break, but
yep.
We need to kind of kick this one around last night because I thought I was not going to watch anything last night. So I'm sitting in the kitchen, and I'm on my computer, and Lisa's running around doing laundry, and Taylor's just, yeah, she normally does. She's a terror. She's like the Tasmanian devil. She's playing with her toys, and she's in the different rooms. And I happen to look up from my computer, and Taylor, she doesn't walk anywhere. She's on the balls of her feet running. She got that from her mom. I mean, she is a runner. And she's sprinting from our room into the living room, and we have hardwood floors. She has socks on. She slips and goes forward, and her noggin goes bouncing off the coffee table.
Oh, no.
I mean, I was like J.J. Watt on a mission to get a sack. I mean, I just dropped everything on the dead sprint. And by the time I got there, Lisa was already there, and she had caught the edge of the table on her cheekbone. I'm like, is her cheekbone broken? And Lisa's like, Taylor, are you okay? And obviously, motherly things. But Lisa's got her hands all over where she got hit in the face and everything like that. And I like that. And I go, is her cheek bad? And I go to just touch her cheek just so I can see that everything. And my wife did the whole White House Jim Acosta thing, but just whack. And so I go, you do the Karate Kid thing on me one more time? I'm like, I'm not having that. And she's like, this is our baby. And I'm going, just – so I go and get ice. And everything like that,
like you were going there to like add damage in some, like you could mess something up by checking to
see. If she wasn't related to Taylor, could have been called for some kind of casual assault because she had her hands all over my daughter's face. But the minute that I even tried to touch it with my finger and my thumb, oh my God, you'd have thought that I was trying to create. And here's the worst part about it, because the good thing is she was okay. 5 minutes later, she just wanted to move on to, you know, Puppy Patrol or Paw Patrol. But then this morning, I'm looking at her going, and she goes, Daddy, face hurts. I go, yeah, baby, you fell last night. Are you okay? And she's like, no, I might need a doctor. And I'm like, no, Taylor, you're okay.
Yeah, you don't need a doctor.
So I get, you know, we get ready for school and everything like that, and I'm getting ready to drop her off. And I'm going, now here's the double-edged sword, the catch-22. Because if I go to the front desk and right away say, hey, she took a tumble last night, you know, so just in case you're wondering, it's there. Or do I take her to the classroom, never mention a thing, and then risk getting the phone call at 11 a.m.? Mr. Blank, do you realize that your daughter has a bruise in the face area on the cheekbone? Can you? Either way, I'm going to be vilified.
Right.
And I thought I took the lesser of two evils. So I go to the front desk and I go, hey, Joanna, I just want to let you know, Taylor took a little tumble last night, caught the coffee table. You might see she might have a little bruise on her cheekbone. And she's like, And I'm going, in the back of her mind, she's already thinking that I took a Louisville Slugger to my kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is a no-win situation, and no matter how honest you are, they're not going to believe you. Now, I know those people, so thankfully they're pretty cool about it.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
That was your hindsight's 20/20 here. You should have just sent her off, let her go in there. And then as soon as they call you, you say, well, how did that happen? She didn't have a bruise this morning when I dropped her off.
Flip the script. Turn it back on them. I like that.
They don't even have a chance because then they're like, no. And then you're like, oh, well, did another kid do it? Did a teacher do it? Did she fall? What happened? Why wasn't somebody watching her? Why are you accusing me? And then it's like, whoa, whoa. And then you got them in the back pedal. All of a sudden you're on offense and they're on defense.
That's a good call. Yeah, because I never, you know, it's like the walk of shame. I'm walking back to the car, and in my mind, I'm replaying it going, no matter what I said there, I am dead in the water. And to them, they think that I'm a chronic child abuser.
Short of you having video of it, they were not going to believe exactly what you said.
You're right. Yeah. So that one was painful. And you just ordered breakfast, Aaron. You have a fried egg on top of a mound of rice. What is that dish that you just ordered? Korean beef and breakfast.
Yeah.
It's a B&B, beef and breakfast. It's the only way that you want to play when you are at Prime Social. It is a fantastic experience, and Aaron is trying something that I don't think I would ever in my wildest dreams have ordered unless I had washed British biscuits. Then I might have changed my mind.
You're a well-traveled guy.
I used to be.
Have you been to Hawaii?
Yes.
Have you ever had a Loco Moco?
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, man. So Loco Moco is like a traditional Hawaiian hangover food.
Okay.
And there were some Hawaiian people who transplanted, God, I don't know why, to Lubbock, Texas. And they had a Hawaiian
Talk
restaurant.
Talk about from one extreme to the other.
No doubt. So they were there, and my buddy tells me, hey, you got to go try the Loco Moco at this place. And I go, what's a Loco Moco? He's like, just go in and order it. And I feel like you're going to be out on this, but it's good.
Okay.
It's like a hamburger steak with gravy and a fried egg on top over rice. And it's served with a cold macaroni salad.
They're big on the cold macaroni salad.
Yes.
Because my best friends in the world are Hawaiian, and I've been back with them. So I lived like the natives. I stayed at the house and did all that. I didn't do the hotel thing and all that other stuff. But I do know the other thing is because they can drink like fish.
Oh, yes.
Because my boys can pound them. But there is a certain green beer that they have there, and I believe it's rice-based, but you don't get a hangover. And I called BS the first time, and I can't tell you how many green bottles we went through, but I just know the next day I didn't feel like I should have. I mean, I was not hungover. I was not slowed. I was like, Boy, this is something that should be marketed a lot more in the States.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm in on that. No hangover Hawaiian beer. I'm in.
I'll get it for you. I'm going to get you the name of the beer, and maybe they sell it here at Specs or something like that. All right. In the meantime, the Kid Brews story has struck a nerve, thankfully, and nothing more than that. Billy, what's up?
Hey, guys. I got one out for you. So I was in the military, and I had to leave my son with my parents in the winter one time, and I took him out to the golf course as I'm dropping him off, and he's riding in the cart with me. Well, we get done with our round, and we're going up over the last turn when my kid decides to stand up as I'm taking the turn and goes out of the side of the golf cart and basically takes all the skin off the left side of his face.
Oh.
And end up having to go to the ER, and he's starting first grade with my parents on a new semester, and my mom's freaking out, going, oh my God, we got to take him to school, and he's missing half of his face. I was like, well, I'll tell you what, nobody's going to mess with him in a new school because he's going to look like the toughest SOB in there.
How old was he at the time?
He was 6.
Man. 6. Well, and thus the movie Face Off was born.
Yeah,
and there you go. And then you called up a couple of people in Hollywood, and next thing you know, you're a rich man, you got a movie, and your kid's okay.
Yep, there you go.
Appreciate the call, Billy. Have a good weekend. I was freaking out this morning.
At least you got the parents that are like, or the at least you got the school and the teachers and the daycare and stuff like that are like questioning it instead of the ones where you drop them off and it's like prison and they just make sure they get their hot in a cot during nap time.
It used to be like that where they were a little bit more, but now that we've gotten to know them, I'm thankful because I don't have to deal with that as much. Because the first couple times, like, I drop her off, Lisa has to pick her up, and if it happens and they notice it, and then they wait till the parent shows back up, and then Lisa gets interrogated by like 8 teachers in a room sitting at a small desk, and she's like, it's the worst and most uncomfortable feeling ever. All right, you know what's not? Listening to us and then the Blitz. It's the number one sports shows in town right here for you, including number one overall. That's Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. They're going to come up next from 4 to 7. But we're going to take you all the way till 4. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a call and join us. 713-780-3776, just like Billy did. Or you can hit us up on Twitter or text the show. It's the Usual Suspects, back with more in mere minutes.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out. Cody Stutes is in. We appreciate him, and we appreciate you listening to the show. It is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1 as we roll on. From Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer here in the Galleria area. If you're looking for a great spot to play poker where it's safe, it's clean, it's classy, and it's got good food and beverage as well as great games, stop by Prime Social and play some poker. Like I said, AJ Hoffman's in the middle of this tournament right now, as well as Lance Zierlein. There's bounties on them if you knock them out, but it seems like they're doing quite well. So that means that Fred might be asking Cody to stick around a little bit. We'll see.
Let's talk about Canadian cooking shows with him.
Hey, he's here. So don't you know, in the Great White North, you guys could talk about all that and more. Just a little bit.
Chopped Canada.
Oh, take off, hey, you hoser. You could talk about some food with Fred. Okay, in the meantime, Coach Doc wants to talk about my Kid Brews story. Coach, what's up?
Yes, how are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I was listening to y'all's stories, and I got a story for you.
Okay.
My next to my oldest son, he's 26 now, but at the time he was 2, and he would always, find a shiny object. Most of the time it was keys, and he would always go to the light socket and try to stick it in the light socket. And we would always stop him and pop his hand, try to stop him. Well, I'm in the bank one day, and this was in Arizona. I'm in the bank and I'm standing in line. And he's standing right next to me, and the bank had a real shiny plate on their outlet. And my son, he loved to have the keys in his hand, so he had the keys, and he kind of crawled away from me. And he went right to that light socket. I said, you know what? I got to let him learn. So I let him stick it into the socket. He got a good little joke. Don't you know, every person in that doggone bank, and this was by 92, 93, they probably wanted to call it. They probably wanted to call the cops on me, but they were saying, you know, asking, was he all right? Well, I was like, yeah, he all right. He didn't know not to do it anymore, and he never did it again.
Doc, you're lucky they didn't have cell phones back then. What are you thinking?
The statute of limitations.
You could have got electrocuted.
You're officially a bad parent, sir.
That's terrible.
It's shocking. It just got a real good arc.
Well, then you got lucky or the bank was running low on juice, because what are you doing?
You're lucky your son is still alive.
No question about it. Good thing he wasn't drinking any water or had a wet head.
Yeah.
If it was raining outside.
Oh,
that's
man.
How
you let
teach
your
it.
Kid crawl to a light socket and stick a key in it to
yeah,
teach
you
him
let
a lesson?
Him electrocute himself, because if you don't, what is he? He's never going to learn anything, right? That's the whole goal.
What are we doing,
wow,
people?
Coach Doc is he's brave.
I wonder if the kid has like superpowers now.
Coach Doc is very much in favor of Jimbo Fisher grabbing face masks and any other kind of coaching techniques as long as they work.
He thought Applewhite went soft on Oliver last
That's right.
Night.
That's right. What are we doing, man? I did not see that story going that way.
No.
I got to let you know.
Oh, no.
That's just crazy.
That's impressive, Coach Doc.
That's
a bad
not
way.
Impressive. Yeah, in a bad way, yeah. Yes. That's depressing. It's terrible. Oh, my God.
You literally could have killed his own kid.
The kid probably can't grow hair anymore.
Wow.
It's probably just fried out.
I'm all about
tough love, but damn.
We were kind of looking at each other like, okay, where is he going with this story? I never anticipated, I just let him electrocute himself to be where he was going to go with the story.
And he's fine.
He's fine.
And we don't feel lucky about that at all.
I'm glad that we got the update before that he's 26 alive and well.
Jeez. I mean.
The secretary upstairs is lights flickering on her computer.
If I'm at teller number two.
Yeah.
And I see that, like I said, he's lucky they didn't have cell phones back then. I'd have been like, speed dial, Child Protective Services, 911. Someone get this dude, and he's got to be locked up for that.
They're hitting the freaking security button. It's not a bank robbery. Yes, they just want the cops to show up for him.
It's like a fire alarm. We're like, because he just keeps hearing, someone's got to get this guy out of here and save the kid. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. And I do have to tell you guys, too. It goes without saying, but we'll just mention quickly. In baseball, the American League and National League MVPs went exactly how we told you they would. Mookie Betts in the American League. Christian Yelich in the National League. I don't think surprise to anyone.
No.
In that regard, so we got that out of the way.
Where Bregman finished. Bregman was in top
Shocker, five. Fred. Something you might want to bring up on your show now that Fred and AJ are both here. But your partner said that there was no way Bregman finished in the top five in MVP balloting. And I said five. Okay. Well, Barry and I had said five, and he said it wasn't going to happen. So, but regardless, Bregman finished fifth in the MVP balloting. Mookie Betts did win it. And with that, I put John Morosi tweeted out today, just in case you guys were wondering before the hot stove heats up. He said that the Astros are in need of one starting pitcher, obviously, with McCullers down and Keuchel in free agency, as well as Morton. He said they are active in trade discussions and that it's taking precedence over free agent negotiations. They're inquiring on nearly every available starter via trade, as one executive told him, MLB Network, and others. So,
love it.
That means Seattle's probably gotten a few calls.
Paxton
is, because he's also been an Astros killer. So you know that has probably come up. And then that goes to the talks that you again mentioned from Morosi as well, who said that the Astros have had serious discussions with the Marlins about JT Realmuto as their next catcher, and that the Marlins are steadfast on the fact that you have to part with one, if not both, of Kyle Tucker and or Forrest Whitley. Are you guys okay with that? Because
hey,
that gets back to what AJ's been saying about the fact that no matter how good the prospect is and how high he ranks, it's a 50-50 crapshoot on whether they ever develop. You know what? To be honest with you, in my opinion, what I saw of Tucker last year was enough to tell me if I can trade Tucker and just some other lower prospects and get Realmuto, I'm doing it, because he didn't impress me.
My thing with the Marlins story is the Marlins can kick rocks. because they have not asked for top prospects on all these other players. Yelich just won the MVP, and they weren't asking for the tip-toppity prospects on that. So Jeter and company can kick rocks on that. You ain't getting number one and number two. Save that for that pitcher chase. Save that for the Paul Goldschmidt chase. Save that for another big bat that we haven't thought of yet that Luno's probably already called on. Save them, those guys, for that. The Marlins can kick rocks. You're not getting number one or number two.
Unless they get in a bidding war. Unless they get a couple teams interested.
Well, there you go.
That are willing to give up one of their top prospects. Then if you really want to play, then you're going to have to step up to the plate. Otherwise, you're right. I mean, because Jeter, as I've said over and over again on this show, just has more egg on his face than a breakfast stop. Because that you can't be giving up the prospect. You can't be giving up the players you gave up that have performed so well on other teams. When you look at what Stanton, the kind of year Stanton had, and I understand that contract was huge.
Yep.
But when you look at him giving up Yelich, and Yelich winning the MVP, as you mentioned, all their relief pitchers they gave up, all the guys they just decided to press the reset button on, have excelled in other places.
And the team that is heaviest in it with the Astros right now is the Braves, and the Marlins don't want to make the move to the Braves because they don't want him in the division.
Same division, right.
Okay, so they're not as interested in the Braves. So you hope that maybe it just stays a two-horse race, and they just take what the Astros are offering. Because remember, when you heard Gerrit Cole's name pop up, we thought Tucker and Whitley last year, and then they were able to move him for Musgrove and Moran. And
yeah, they ended up getting a deal where I thought they were going to have to give up a lot more. But also on the side of the prospects, which I always have stated previously on the show, is the fact that from year to year, the prospects' names change because of the fact that they're not as good as people once thought they were, or they got to the big league level and they didn't perform. What? Derek Fisher used to be Mr. Untouchable. Martez used to be the untouchable pitching prospect. He just went under the knife.
Yep.
You know, you look at Derek Fisher still on the back of a milk carton somewhere. You can't find him. He got some mysterious illness in the clubhouse and was never to be heard from again. It's crazy. So, I mean, it's quickly how one day you are the apple of everybody's organizational eye, and the next day you're on the back of a milk carton and no one can find you.
No doubt. And here's the thing. Credit to Jeff Luhnow for continuing to find those guys, because the past couple of years, still adding guys to the organization that are worthwhile, despite creeping lower and lower in that first round and in those rounds of the draft, Luno's going to find these guys again, okay, so it's okay to deal them and give them up. He's going to find more guys.
You hope so. And you also hope he finds more coaches and more baseball front office guys, because they got all kinds of holes to fill there.
They got
there.
A brain drain. Woo! Over there, man.
Baby. Woo! All right, we got one segment to go on the show. That means picks are coming up next. We're going to do college, we're going to do pro, and we're going to get you out of here as you get ready for the Blitz. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show. We appreciate you being along for the ride on an FYF Friday on The Usual Suspects. It is Cody Stutes in for Barry Laminack. It is Joel Blank and, of course, Nick Sciarra back at the studio as we are wrapping up our final segment of the day, and then we're going to turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz as they'll take you home till 7 o'clock. You don't have to do a thing. Fred is here. AJ's still playing, so you may get a little bit more Cody Stutes. We'll have to find out. But as we normally do in the last segment on a Friday, it is time to do some picks, college and pro. We do not have the standings from last week. So
we do not.
There you go. We just skip that and move on.
We will update that when Barry gets back for sure, though. So it's not a big deal. But we'll start in college. UAB on the road against Texas A&M. The Aggies are favored in College Station, minus 16.5. I like the Aggies, and I like them to cover. Who's your pick?
Who you got, Cody?
I will be in the house for this game.
I don't think anybody needed to know that.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing.
Well, then I'll I want to let you know that I think UAB will cover this. I don't think they will win. I think UAB will cover.
I got A&M as well, Nick. I'm with you. I think A&M's going to try and make a statement for recruiting without having to grab jackets, and I think that they're going to annihilate UAB.
All right, we move on. South Florida on the road against Temple. Temple favored by 14 points. Minus 14 for Temple. I like Temple, and I think they'll cover.
Do you really?
Yes.
Cody?
Temple. pretty good football team. Got going against the Cougars last week, almost beat Central Florida. No reason to think that Charlie Strong and company is going to take care of Temple. I got Temple in this one.
I do as well. I'm going to take Temple as well, although that John, what's his name, is a legend. Oh, he's their basketball coach. Or he was. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, West Virginia goes on the road against Oklahoma State. They are favored -5.5. I actually like West Virginia on the road, and I'm taking them to cover.
I'm with you, man. I'm all in on Dana, and I'm all in on the Heisman quarterback. And I believe that West Virginia is going to roll the Cowboys.
Will Grier has been fantastic.
There you go. Yep.
The Cowboys are a surprisingly tough out for Big 12 teams.
Oklahoma found that out.
I like the Cowboys to cover, but West Virginia to win.
Okay.
Okie doke. We move on to Syracuse.
No, it was Oklahoma State, Nick, not okie doke.
Sorry, Syracuse goes on the road against Notre Dame. Notre Dame are favored by 10 points, -10 for Notre Dame at home. I actually like Notre Dame, and I like them to cover. Who's your pick?
Game played at Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
And
yes.
The weather is awful. So, Syracuse is not a bad football team.
They are not bad.
I'm going to go on a limb here. Ooh. I'm going to say Notre Dame's going to win the game.
But that Syracuse.
But I think the Cuse is going to cover.
The fighting Charlie Palillos?
I believe that's the only detriment they have, but I believe that I will go with Syracuse to cover and Notre Dame to win.
Notre Dame's rushing attack is fantastic. Bad weather, a QB coming back from banged up ribs. I think this one's close, and I think Notre Dame gets that late score to cover it.
That's fine.
But
no,
Syracuse,
your opinion doesn't
hangs
count. Our
close.
Picks. Sure. Okay.
That's
there you
interesting.
Go.
I will look forward to that. All right. Ohio State on the road against Maryland, -14 for Ohio State on the road. I'm picking Ohio State, and I'm picking them to cover.
I'm all with you, man. I saw this pick, and I thought about putting it in for AJ's picks. I've been on the Buckeyes for a while to kind of bounce back. It's now or never for them if they're going to try and, you know, stay prevalent, and lead up to their Michigan game. And I think that they get on track, they get right against Maryland, and they win by more than 2 touchdowns.
If Michigan State had not firmly taken the shotgun to their foot last week, Sparty beats them outright like I thought would happen last week. But unfortunately, Michigan State got in their own way. Maryland, surprisingly, has been a tough out for some of these teams this year. Ohio State can't stop anybody on defense. Even when Bosa was there, they were giving up
crazy?
Points. Yes.
With all the recruits they get?
So crazy. Maryland does enough to cover.
Okay.
Ohio State wins, though.
Okay.
All right, we move on to the NFL. And the first game is Kansas City against the Rams. The Rams are playing at home, and they are favored by 3.5 points. I love what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do. But I really like this Rams team at home, so I'm taking the Rams, and I'm taking them to cover.
I'm with you. I think the Rams at home, and because if you look at the two teams, offensively I'll call it a wash. Defensively, I'll say that the Rams are head and shoulders, in my opinion, above anything Kansas City can put out there. And with the home field advantage, I'll take the Rams to cover and win the game.
I like the Chiefs on this one. I like the Chiefs to take care of business.
Shocker, you're taking a Texas Tech guy.
A surprisingly leaky the past couple of weeks Rams defense. 31 points to the Seahawks, 45 to the Saints a couple of weeks ago. Kansas City's got more than enough to hang close. I think Kansas City's going to win, though. Give me the Chiefs.
Okay.
Cool. All right. We'll move on. We're going to skip the Houston game. We'll go to Dallas to Atlanta. Atlanta at home, -3 for the Falcons. I'm just going to stick to Dallas because I really want them to do better. I know they're a liability on offense, but I'm going to go ahead and take Dallas +3 on the road against Atlanta.
I like Atlanta at home. They're hanging on to slim playoff hopes. They're too talented of a team to have the record that they have anyways, even though they're depleted on defense. And I think in that environment, in that dome, at home, I think they're going to break. They'll put up points. There's no doubt about it. I don't know that Dallas's defense can stay with Julio Jones and company either, but I'll take Atlanta at home.
Falcons lost last week, but Matt Ryan played awesome in the loss. Matt Ryan is heads and shoulders above Dak Prescott. Give me the Falcons in this one.
Okay, Philadelphia on the road against the Saints. The Saints are favored -8.5. This is the toughest game for me to pick. But I feel like the Saints are playing like one of the best teams, if not the best team in football. So I'm picking the Saints to win and cover the 8.5 points.
I'm going to go 50-50 with you. I think the Saints win, but I don't think that they cover that because Wentz has been playing better and better. He's got more weapons now. They're working in Golden Tate. Yeah, their running game is still a little bit less than what they expected. But I think that the Eagles will give them a game. They will be in the game. It's the game, the late game of the week, and a lot of people are going to be eyeballing that. They want to make a statement as well. I think the Saints win, but I think the Eagles cover.
I think the Eagles will get exposed by the Saints. The Saints are going to demolish them, much like they've demolished almost everybody in their path in recent
weeks. I like hearing that.
They're rolling. Give me Saints.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Cincy on the road against Baltimore, but they're favored 5.5 points. I like Cincinnati in this game. I know they're
Flacco out for sure because Flacco and Jackson both didn't practice yesterday. RG3 was the only one that practiced.
Jackson back today. Flacco out today. Flacco TBD. They have no idea who the starter is Sunday for the Ravens.
It's a good sign for the Bengals, even though they still don't have AJ Green. So we got.
Here's the way I look at this. If it's Robert Griffin, it's easily the Bengals. If it's Lamar Jackson, I know the Bengals have been atrocious on defense the past couple weeks, but it's still a rookie getting his first start. And though I think Lamar Jackson's really talented, again, rookie first NFL start, since he's got more than enough to win that thing by a touchdown and cover, so give me the Bengals.
Nick?
I like the Bengals, and I like them to cover.
I'm with you. I'll take that as well.
All right, last game. The Houston Texans go on the road against the Redskins. They are favored, -3. But I don't like them. Look, at some point, this has to stop. They can't just continue to win out. I don't know a better team that they'll lose. I saw their schedule. I like this Washington team to be the team to beat them and break that win streak. So I'm taking the Redskins. +3.
I should be taking the Texans to just blow them out, but I can't do that. I think it's a close game. I actually think Washington can muddy this thing up, be ugly enough. They don't turn the ball over a ton. And I think Washington can do more than enough to get themselves a win. I'm picking against the Texans this week. Give me Washington. Close, but give me Washington.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. Weather's going to play a factor as well, too, because that whole East Coast is getting hit by snow and bad weather. And obviously the Texans are more of an indoor-type team. And they're still but they've had 10 days to prepare. So it's basically and essentially a pick-em game. But I'm with you, Nick. I think my feeling is they haven't played well enough to be dominant in all six games they've won. They've just been lucky. And I think it's got to end at some point. And I'm going to go with you both, and I'm going to take the Redskins.
I think this is the first time we've heard Cody pick against the Texans since doing the picks. I'm not saying all year.
We talk all the time about the Rockets people drinking the red Kool-Aid. Cody's been on that blue Kool-Aid for, forever.
I'm sure he's picked against the Texans. I'm just saying since he's been on our show doing picks. I'm not saying.
Ever since he got caught in traffic on 610, he's been drinking blue Kool-Aid. He just can't get off of it. It's like an addiction. Got to get him off that stuff. Get him some red. Got to make a change.
I've only picked wrong twice, though, on the show.
Well, at least you're keeping track.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, text messages before we get out of here. One says Hawaii equals paradise. Lubbock equals parasites.
Well, that's just
so
not
there
nice.
You go. For those idiot Hawaiian people that got out of paradise and moved to Lubbock, that's on them.
That's not nice.
Women love men who know how to cook and bake. So seriously, Cody has it going on. We'll send pictures. Okay. And the local Kraft Heinz rep. Says he wants to make ketchup happen for me. Hunter, thank you. Appreciate that. And the last question of the day, Cody, which the floor will be yours. Does Cody wear tight pants?
If I can avoid it, I do. I'm a shorts guy.
Was that a Patrick Creighton? Did Patrick Creighton send that in?
I don't know.
I just wanted to know because that can start all kinds of stuff.
I don't know.
All right, hey, we appreciate you again stepping in for
anytime.
Barry and doing a hell of a job. As always, you're in the bullpen warming up, and we'll always have you take the mound when Barry is on the road doing some comedy. But we thank you guys as well for taking us along for the ride and being suspects for the usual suspects. Nick, have a great weekend. We'll talk
to you
on Monday. You guys as well. Be safe out there and keep the radio right where it is because coming up next, it's Fred, AJ, Jong. It's the Blitz. They're also coming to you live from Prime Social, and they'll have plenty more. Have a great weekend, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.